Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour, and today is Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional state into part of the infallible guidance system that we've all been gifted. You can also download the actual worksheet itself. It's a simple PDF file. Download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been stepped through the worksheet process or given powerful testimonials about how the actual application of the process has benefited them and or asked probing questions about how something so seemingly innocuous can have such power in their lives. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often, because that often leads to questions, comments, and testimonials. And if you do have any of those to share with us, give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1. That will put a little question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. Also this year we are doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons. Today is the 306th day of the year, and that leads us to the lesson which reads, The gift of Christ is all I seek today. What but the vision of the Christ mind could I want to use today? It can offer me a day in which I see a world so like to heaven that an ancient memory returns to me. Today I can forget the world that I made. Today I can go past all fear and be restored to love and holiness and peace. Today I am redeemed and born anew into the world of mercy and care, that world of loving kindness and the peace of the Creator. And so, Creator, we return to you remembering we never went away, remembering your holy gifts to us. In gratitude and thankfulness we come with empty hands and open hearts, asking but that you give what you give. We cannot make an offering sufficient for your offspring, but in your love, the gift of your offspring is his. And the Course in Miracles experiment book by Pam Grout lists as her 306th lesson the title, We Believe the Fairy Tale is True. She quotes Robert Anton Wilson as saying, the more you look for synchronicity, the more magical your life becomes. You are the magician that makes the grass green. Pam writes, the ego is like the annoying tall person who sits in front of you at a theater or in a baseball game. Until it showed up, you had a perfectly clear view. It was a cinch to see the light, the brilliance, the vision that Lesson 306 promises. But once that darned ego showed up, wearing a wide-brimmed hat, carrying a monstrous bucket of popcorn, and completely blocking your view, your vision morphed into the Wes Craven horror flick. Today, I happily skip out of the theater where transcendence is the only thing I could ever see. The gift of the Christ mind is all I seek today. And that vision offers me a day in which I see a world so like to heaven that an ancient memory returns to me. So that's our Course in Miracles workbook lesson and the Course in Miracles experiment commentary from Pam Grout for today. And as usual, we've got about 50 minutes to entertain your comments and questions and or hear your testimonials or suggestions for a topic. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. How can we support you today? What's on your mind? It's been quite the powerful and productive day in terms of my therapy sessions and my own personal life, and I'm curious as to what's been going on in your life. What's happening? We were talking yesterday about more of the 15 commitments of conscious relationship or conscious leadership. And we were talking about the shift in desire and lack to the commitment of experiencing that I have enough of everything, including approval, control, and security. The big stretch in today's lesson from the 15 commitments is, I commit to seeing all people and circumstances as allies that are perfectly suited to help me learn the most important things for my growth. That's the way a conscious leader would look at every event, every person, every interaction that he or she has throughout the day. The unconscious commitment, or the commitment below the line in this terminology, is that I commit to seeing other people and circumstances as obstacles and impediments and competition to getting what I most want. So, oddly enough, most of us have been raised to approach this commitment from the unconscious perspective. Most of us have been raised to think in terms of everyone is out to get us. We are powerless. Everything that happens that we don't like is somehow an obstacle to us getting what we need in life. And it can be quite the challenge to recognize that, as we talk about so often in this work, everything that I experience is a product of my own choice and where I'm focusing my attention and how I choose to interpret and respond to the events of life. It's not, as we are so often led to believe, that the world is out to get me and that things are here to torture me or abuse me or give me pain. And the challenge in this kind of work is to move whatever perspective you want to take more and more towards the kind of thing that Michael Singer in his work with his book, The Surrender Experiment, and his book, The Untethered Soul, draws us to the ability to just watch the flow of life as though we are watching a movie or a play or a symphony and just enjoy the experience, allow the energies to move through us, and marvel at our heart's ability to produce such intense emotions, etc. And this commitment of experiencing the world as an ally, committing to see all people and circumstances as allies that are perfectly suited to help me learn the most important things for my growth, reminds me of the way Guy Finley talks about this as saying, the lessons we need to learn in life ride into our lives on the back of events we don't want, right? Because most of us don't want to grow. Most of us want things to be comfortable, ourselves to be comfortable, life to flow the way our mind or our ego would say it should be flowing. So what's the difference between somebody who is reactive versus being conscious and actively interacting with this? They talk about how the way leaders view people and circumstances actually dictates whether they are reactive or conscious. The reactive person or leader thinks things are happening to them. And the conscious person understands they can shift their perspective and think of everything as happening for them, either to challenge them to grow in the way they need to grow to get to the next level or to have hidden benefits and blessings that they can't see at the conscious, logical level. They talk about how the wiring of our brain contributes to this view that we have about either things are with me or against me approach to life. And one of the first things we learn to do in our growth as infants is to learn to categorize things. We ask children to sort buttons and separate the red ones from the blue ones, to separate shapes. And we teach them that it's critical to get it right and to label things accurately and to differentiate one from another in order to navigate through the world. And that same skill becomes a disservice to leaders when the judgments and categories get simplistic, entrenched, and comparative. People are either with me or against me. They're either better than me or less than me. And I'll find the evidence to prove whatever premise I start with. And it proves, it really drains a lot of energy from us to constantly prove that we're either better or worse than somebody. And what they recommend here is that conscious leaders are able to shift out of the state of comparison and competition to see everyone, including themselves, as equally valuable. Everyone is an ally in the bigger game of learning. So here's their definition for an ally. Traditionally, allies are associated with one another for some common cause or goal. For instance, we might unite in a war against a common enemy. For our purpose, a common cause or goal we have with our allies is our individual learning and growth. Other people don't have to consciously commit to being your ally. If you are committed to experiencing them that way, they are always instrumental to your growth. People that you feel irritated around, people that you judge as less than you, people that you judge as greater than you, people that you experience as being attacking of you, people that you experience as being yes men and praising you and feigning praise, all of it can be used by the conscious leader, reframed into a growth opportunity. Sometimes you can select that kind of a relationship with a coach, a forum group, or an advisory board. However, in this book, they encourage you to go even further. Consider that everyone you interact with, in one way or another, brings an opportunity for you to discover an aspect of yourself that you could not have seen without them, even the most adversarial interactions. In fact, they say here, especially adversarial interactions with individuals. These can help you grow or become aligned with what you most want to create and what you most need to learn about yourself in order to create what you want to create. Every circumstance can help you uncover something new about your beliefs, your behaviors, and your desires. Every person or situation can be seen through the filter of, this is happening for me, and it's happening to serve my learning and growth. It's happening to nudge me out of my comfort zone into the growth zone. Again, if the universe is benevolent, always organizing for the highest good, then other people are part of this collective support for your personal growth. If you choose to show up in the world this way, you can welcome everyone and everything as an ally. This means that the person on the other side of the negotiating table is a catalyst for learning about what you value and where you may have been overreaching. The inability of someone on the other team to deliver his or her agreements offers valuable insight on your management skills or stubbornness to make a change earlier. No matter what the situation, rather than wallowing in resistance, you can get curious and ultimately feel gratitude for whatever prompted you to wake up, deepen your consciousness, and grow as a leader. So, here's an example of the commitment in action. Daphne Scott is a regional manager at Athletico. This is a leading healthcare organization. Early in her career, she participated in many regional meetings. At the end of one of the meeting days, she received a devastating email from a top leader in the company. It said, quote, everyone is noticing your constant comments. People are even betting on how many times you'll speak, close quote. As the email continued to describe her behaviors, Daphne broke down sobbing. It was the most painful thing anyone had ever said to her. She believed the email tore her down and that the author was thinking only of himself. She also thought he was trying to block her from progressing in the career that she loved. She thought he was mean and didn't value her intelligence. Now, Daphne noticed her thoughts and then recommitted to conscious leadership. She took some time to get grounded. And then she called the leader who had sent the email to ask for a meeting. She changed the focus and chose to see this leader as an ally, regardless of what his behavior sounded like to her in that email. She shifted her perspective to believe that he sent the email because he cared about her. And when they met, he did express his desire to help her. He shared with her that he wanted her to be a leader in the organization and that her meeting etiquette was keeping her from reaching her potential. While his comments might not have been phrased the way she preferred, he was helping her learn important things for her growth, both inside and outside of her company. And they highlight here in the book, other people don't even have to consciously commit to being your ally. If you are committed to experiencing them that way, you can turn it into instrumental tools for your own growth. So, this brings me back to the idea that the commitment here is aligned, in my mind, perfectly with the reality management worksheet. And in the reality management worksheet, it says over and over again, in various presentations Dr. Rice makes and in the worksheet itself, if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. If somebody sends me an email that I say is a nasty attack, and I create frustration and fear and sadness and hurt and insult, I take offense at it, I'm the one that created that offense. Even if the email was intended to be nasty, I'm still the one who creates the offense, because it is entirely possible for me to read an email sent by somebody who intends to rip me to shreds and insult me and attack me, and have me look at it and kind of chuckle at the absurdity and at the fact that anybody who would write an email like that intentionally negative is just demonstrating their own pain, fear, or sadness. The email really isn't about me. So if I generate upset in response to an email, the reality management worksheet tells me, if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. And when my thinking says, boy, that person's really got a problem, the worksheet reminds me, well, wait a minute, if they're the one with the problem, how come I'm the one with the pain, fear, sadness, upset, guilt, shame, blame, rage, etc.? It isn't specifically talked about in the reality management worksheet, but what this worksheet does is almost exactly the reframing that they're suggesting in this commitment from the 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. This commitment number 13, to see everyone as an ally, everyone and every situation as an ally, that's exactly what happens when I apply a worksheet process to anything that's going on in me when it results in a negative emotional state. I'm going to ask to be shown a different way to see the very same situation. And that happens in the step where I cancel the goal and ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind and remove the parts that generate denial and all the negative emotions. That's the same thing to my eye and ear as reframing and choosing to see the situation as an ally. And I've had a number of times, we've talked about them in these shows, it's recorded in the archives, a variety of times that I've done worksheets and shared them, and people who have called in and done worksheets, and you can see, you can hear the shift in energy and the shift in perspective and the interpretations that change when people step through the worksheet process and cancel the need to be right. The biggest block to healing for any of us is our desire to be right, is this craving to be right, is this, Michael has it here, is the need to be right. And oddly enough, my desire to be right, when there is any negative emotional state arising in me, is the blockage to seeing the truth of what is. Course in Miracles tells us, you must understand the distorting power of the way you want things to be. Another line in Course in Miracles says, you may wonder why you need to look upon your deepest hatreds and angers. And the reason is because you need to see what you're doing with your mind energy, with the focus of your conscious logical thought that's actually creating the very thing you say you don't want to have. And unless I can cancel that process, unless I can cancel my own thought process and holding on to being right, and the way the mind works is it will generate the evidence to show me I'm right. It'll show me whatever evidence I tell it to show me. And unless I cancel that process, I can't get free of it. I do have the ability to choose the focus of my conscious awareness in each new present moment. And whether I like it or not, it is the focus of my conscious awareness in each new present moment that creates my experience of life. My experience of life is not created by what other people do or don't do. It is not created by the weather. It is not created by my bank account. It is not created by what other people think of me. It's not created by other people's actions toward me or refusal to act toward me. My experience of life is created by the focus, the choice I make about where and how to focus my conscious awareness in each moment. And that's, you know, in the bottom line observations, I have one that says, what happens to me and around me in my life is nowhere near as important as how I choose to interpret and respond to those events. So we are called in this work to monitor as closely as we can manage our own internal emotional state, because that is our guidance system. It is far more useful in terms of deciding where I'm on target or off target than my conscious logical thought, because my conscious logical thought is going to be driven by goals I hold in the way I want things to be. And if I want things to be a certain way and I'm not willing to cancel those things, if I want things to be in a certain way and I'm upset, if I keep pursuing what I want when there's a negative emotional state in my mind, in my energy system, I'm ignoring the built-in alarm system that comes with this mind-body-energy unit, this awareness, and I'm creating the very thing I say I want to get rid of. And I don't know too many other ways to talk about things being really dysfunctional than for me to be creating something that I don't like and then complain about the very thing I'm creating. That's pretty dysfunctional. So we've got about 30 minutes left, plenty of time for comments and commentary, questions, answers. The call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. How can we support you today? What is it about this extended intro today that makes sense or doesn't make sense? Today's Tuesday, so we will have a support group tonight. All the information about joining us absolutely free on the support group, if you're so inclined, is available at mindshiftersacademy.org website. And we encourage you to join us. It's 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central, and or pass that information along to somebody that you think might be interested, because it's free if you have internet access. And we'll do an hour of some kind of a presentation or discussion in the group and then have time for worksheets or commentary. And it's always a good time. It's always useful and supportive of people in doing their work and learning more about what it takes, what it would take for them to move their work to the next level. And we encourage you to join us. Again, that's all that information is available at mindshiftersacademy.org website. And I should mention, because it's tripped a few people up, there's a separate login information for Tuesday and Thursday. You need the right login code to join us. And let us know what's on your mind today. How can we spend the next 28 minutes that would be of benefit to you? Summary in this chapter we were reading on this choosing to see others as an ally and everything that happens is conscious leaders look at life through the perspective of learning and growth. They wonder about how everyone and everything, especially challenges and potential obstacles, are actually allies to their own development and growth. And the chapter summary is, conscious leaders commit to seeing all people and circumstances as allies in their growth. Unconscious and reactive leaders choose to view other people and circumstances as obstacles to getting what they want. Most leaders start with this reactive mindset. They're convinced that they will feel happy once they get what they want, and if they can't get what they want, it's because others are standing in their way. Rather than seeing all people as allies, unconscious leaders think either or. People are either with me or against me. This does not mean that competition doesn't exist, but that even competitors can be supportive catalysts for my own growth, and that my adversaries can be extraordinarily beneficial to me. I can choose to view challenges as a way to create positive pressure, often that is needed for me to expand beyond the comfort zone and into a higher level of performance and achievement. Conscious leaders are able to shift out of the state of comparison to see everyone and everything as equally valuable. This is that would take shifting into living in the question, as Rilke would call us to. This would require us to ask to be shown where our conscious logical mind is showing us things to be irritated about and upset about and to feel competition and a roadblock, as this would call us to questioning and living in that curiosity, which is in one of the earlier commitments. Conscious leaders are able to shift out of competition and comparison mode and ask how to see everyone and everything as equally valuable. And this perspective recognizes that all people and circumstances can be viewed as an asset to my learning and growth. And once I do that, it's kind of a springboard into the next commitment, which is creating a win-win for all situations. That next one, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, is I commit to creating win-win situations. Win for me, win for the other person, win for the organization, win for the whole. The whole view that I can summon of whatever's going on. Whatever issues, problems, concerns, or opportunities that life brings me, I'm committing to turn it into a win-win situation. And that's going to be a challenge at times. That's going to stretch me to grow. That's going to require that I cancel some of the goals I have loaded that will give me a myopic view of the world. So That's what's up for tomorrow, and we have another 23 or 4 minutes left today, 563-999-3581. How can we support you today? What's on your mind? What would you like to do with our last 20 few minutes? We have somebody was asking about this yesterday. We had a board meeting for the Journey's Dream, and Journey's Dream was co-sponsor with Mensa Medical for the October 10th, 8th, 9th, and 10th Integrative Mental Health Summit. And the IntegrativeMentalHealthSummit.org, IntegrativeMentalHealthSummit.org is the website to go to, and you can still purchase the access to those video files and the audio of, I think they said they had 43 different speakers and 20-some different presentations. They had several panels and group discussions, so there were more speakers than there are separate talks. But the recordings are available, and if you pay the, I think at this point it's $150. If you pay $150, you can get access to all 20-some videos and have access to them for the whole year, for the next coming year. And to get access to that, you go to IntegrativeMentalHealthSummit.org and follow the links and put in your information. You can get access to those video files, and within those video files, a variety of different approaches to problems that conventional medical and psychiatric treatment would simply be, take this medication and don't ask questions. Just, you know, stay in the hospital or stay in the hospital until your insurance runs out, and then take this medication for as long as we tell you to, which is usually indefinitely. And what the Integrative Mental Health Summit really wanted to do is put out there a variety of creative and very effective ways to deal with mental, emotional, and physical health problems from a holistic or an integrative or a functional medicine approach. So there were people, there were these two powerfully intelligent women talking about different approaches to helping people with autism. There was Dr. Walsh talking about nutritional components of and imbalances that relate to almost every level of psychiatric and psychological problem or symptom that they see. There were people talking about using technology to help monitor and improve mental health issues. There were people who did panel discussions on healing trauma with things other than medication. There were people there talking about what it takes to have good sleep, and some experts discussing that. So many different aspects of mental and emotional health were discussed by thought leaders in the field, and that's all available at Integrative Mental Health Summit, all one word, .org. So if you have questions about that summit, if you have questions about anything we've talked about in the past 10 and a half years, pushing 11, I guess, here, since we started in 2011, and we're pushing towards 2022 here. Give us a call, 563-999-3581. There are all kinds of presentations about helping people with substance abuse and doing that from a holistic perspective. There was a wonderful talk by Melissa Bernstein, co-founder of the toy company Melissa and Doug. And these are a lot of people, various people, were speaking from the perspective of having been a consumer of mental health services themselves, and or if it's the women who had talks about autism, both of them had helped their own offspring through those challenges. And there's a gentleman, a psychologist out of California, who was helping people learn how to do EMDR by and for themselves. And his presentation, I believe his name was Dr. Passaro, Perry Passaro, P-A-S-S-A-R-O, is part of what you get if you buy the package. And you learn how to focus, actually steps people through using it to shift their experience of a past trauma right there in the talk. And there are nutritional consultants and experts. There were people who are experts in using yoga to treat trauma. There were several different integrative psychiatrists, Dr. Leela Masumi and Dr. Phyllis Hefner. Brad Yates with EFT tapping is part of that package. Dr. Nishi Bhopal is one of the thought leaders about sleep, how to restore good sleep, how the benefits of sleep in your life. So, Dr. George Lindenfeld was there talking about trauma, and he uses the BAUD, bioacoustical utilization device, to treat people with trauma. He does his own specific trauma technique. Dr. David Grand, who developed brain spotting, was on the trauma panel. Winfred Doerr, who created a fabulous program to help your brain develop, to help people with learning disabilities and reading conditions and focus and concentration problems. So, a lot of good stuff available at integrativementalhealthsummit.org. And there is a fee. It's $150 to buy the videos for access to them for a year. And it goes for a really good cause. It's two nonprofits that got together. And so far, they've spent their own money on this, and they haven't. It's seeing as though it's only the first year that they've done this thing on a virtual program. It's the $150 you spend helps defray the cost of them getting all of these thought leaders together and putting on that program. So we've got about 15 minutes left and time for a comment or a question or a clarification or a refutation. 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1 and we can have a conversation. What's on your mind? How would it be of use to you to spend this next 14 or 15 minutes? I have in my hand the tool that is recommended by Dr. David Grand in his technique, brain spotting. And he's an individual who was actively doing therapy with EMDR. That's called eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And in the middle of one of his sessions, where they had trained people originally to have the client move their eyes left and right rapidly back and forth while they're focusing on various aspects of a trauma. And in the middle of one of those sessions, Dr. Grand realized that as he moved his finger, the patient's eyes started to just shake and quiver and blink. And so he, unlike everything he'd been trained to do in EMDR, he felt like some inspiration was to just freeze his hand right on the spot where, when that patient was looking at his fingertip, their eyes were going into some kind of a spasm. And he just held it there, and the patient went through this series of releases that were remarkable. And that was the beginning of his understanding that rather than just moving the eyes back and forth, left to right, which is powerful, it works very well for a lot of people. There's all kinds of different forms of alternating bilateral stimulation that work, whether it's sounds or vibrating paddles or tapping that works. But what he found was there's another thing that can happen. And when your eyes are focused at a specific point, it's stimulating a part of your brain, and you can get access to the energies that you downloaded during a time of a trauma. And you can get access to insight and energy release that he had never experienced before. So he began, being a creative soul, he began experimenting with that, and it's what gave rise to the therapy technique known as brain spotting, which now has thousands of clinicians trained in it and is available in a variety of different countries because people find it so effective, either as an adjunct to other therapies or some people just use it specifically. But as he talks about it in the book, it's intended to be just a tool you can use with your knowledge of trauma and your theory of how people manage their thoughts and emotions and physical energies. And so in the hands of a well-trained therapist and or a specifically trained trauma therapist, it's yet another powerful tool. And you can hear more about that if you listen to Dr. David Grand. And that's, he was on the trauma panel with me and two other people on the Integrative Mental Health Summit. And I think that happened on Saturday the 9th. So lots of good stuff and a very good cause as Journey's Dream and Mensa Medical continue to push to try and help rewrite the narrative on mental health, to create a narrative in which optimal health and well-being is possible and expected. And Mensa Medical does that work through targeted nutrient therapy, orthomolecular nutrition. And Journey's Dream does that through promoting what they're calling the Optimal Being Program, which was designed on Dr. Michael Rice's work and the Mind Shifter tool and the Reality Management Worksheet and a host of other tools that Dr. Rice created, and many of them available absolutely free at whyagain.org. And as always, we encourage people to go there soon and often, download the worksheet, do your own journaling, the targeted journaling that's available through the Mind Shifter tool, do the Three Early Memories of Conflict worksheet, do the Codependence to Interdependence worksheet, and watch how you can learn about the parts of your own mind that you've been running and hiding from and how that can free you up to move out of the negative emotional states that your mind wants to blame on other people and other things and move into an experience of compassion, joy, creativity, aliveness, and awareness of your, conscious awareness of your true nature as love. Through the application of these tools, through the application of willingness. I often talk to people about how willingness is the essential ingredient. Michael Rice calls it the cosmic grease. And if I am willing to see what some part of my mind has been hiding from my conscious mind, especially when I have a negative emotion active in my system, I can move through the stuck points. I can move through the self-sabotage that I wasn't even aware I was doing. I had a patient on Friday say that that she knows that she self-sabotages. And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, I know that I procrastinate and it's self-sabotage. And I know exactly why I do it. And I had to offer her the perspective that if she knew exactly why she did it, one of two things would happen almost immediately. The first is she would, well, the first possibility is that she would relabel it as a powerful, useful coping mechanism, not label it as self-sabotage or procrastination. And the second possibility is that if she saw exactly why she did it, she would see what she is trying to accomplish with that mechanism, and she would instantly be able to meet that need for herself in a more productive and socially acceptable way. And so since she continues to procrastinate, doesn't like the results, and labels it self-sabotage, I was able to help her understand that she doesn't yet understand anything about why she is doing the self-sabotage or the procrastination. Because when I see, when I clearly see why I do what I do, if it is unproductive, it falls away. If I get to see that it's productive in a way I wasn't able to see prior to doing that work, prior to this revelation, then I relabel it as something that was highly beneficial. I'm reading the book by Ronald Bassman, who's a psychologist who, at the time when he was 23 years old or whatever, he had a psychotic episode. They threw him in a hospital. And they did what they do to so many people out of their misunderstanding, and they drugged him. They drugged him heavily. And his mind, he was very bright, as evidenced by the fact that he lived through all of that, and now here he is writing a book. He's become a psychologist, and he writes about being on both sides of the locked door. But his very bright mind, when he was 23 years old, would not let him give in to this demand that he comply and just dumb himself down and not let people know about what his insights and intuitions were and how he was having visions and what he could understand about other people. He was what they would call pathologically stubborn. And so, you know, there were a couple parts of the book that I've dog-eared the pages so I can go back when I interview him next week, because he talks about how his stubbornness is literally what got him drugged into submission and eventually given, I forget how many, but I think he had 40 different insulin coma shock treatments, which, you know, you can die from, but back then it was what they thought was the most productive way to help people who were resistant to healing or change. And so they would literally strap them down in a bed and give them a muscle relaxer and then load them up with insulin to put them in a coma. And just for good measure, while they were there, they would give them electroconvulsive therapy on their brain at the same time. And his determination to talk about what he thought was right and to not give in to their telling him just be quiet and go along and get through the program, they were labeling that as a problem. At some point, he even labeled it as a problem. However, that strength of character, that intellectual intelligence that he had, I'm pretty sure even today he would finally say, that's how I kept my sanity. That's how I didn't become a completely broken human being. And yet, many people who were looking at that, including his family, including every single person who worked at the hospital, would say, this is a problem. This is part of his pathology, that he won't give in, that he won't comply, that he won't go along. Well, he was able to reach a perspective where he saw eventually that that was the seeds of and what flowered into his sanity after they were done shocking his brain with insulin and electricity and drugging him to near comatose levels with other drugs. So when we understand everything about what we're doing, one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to see that we can meet those needs or desires in a different, less disruptive way, perhaps more socially acceptable, perhaps even more personally beneficial to us. That's one option. The other option will be, we'll be able to say, oh, this isn't really a problem. This is how I'm avoiding something even worse. This is one of the best coping mechanisms I've developed. And so when we deeply, completely understand what we do, we'll understand why we're doing what we're doing, and we'll be given better options, different options, right from our own resources, or we'll relabel the thing that, in the case of the person I was talking about on Friday, rather than labeling it self-sabotage and procrastination, she'll label it as her way of dealing with an abusive situation or a very difficult life situation. So that's my offering for today. We're down to our last couple of minutes. We'll be back again Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. Hope you join us. Hope you find this useful. Hope you've got some comments or questions. It always makes it easier for us to live into our intention with this work. Again, our intention with this work and the offering of the Internet show is to be of service. So please feel free to call Michael and Jeannie at 563-999-3581. They will be starting the second hour of the show in a couple of minutes, and let them know how they can support you. In the meantime, I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will hope that Jeannie Rice is available. I will turn on her microphone. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Yeah, it would help if I unmuted, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, have a wonderful show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is, what is today? Today is Tuesday, November the 2nd, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show, which is so much better than a monologue because you ask the questions and it gives us the opportunity to search within ourselves and within the work for the answers. And oftentimes we learn ourselves from your questions. Push 1. We'll give Michael just a minute to get dialed in. I'll invite you to go to the website. whyagain.org, whyagain.org. Click on the Start Here button or scroll down in the bullseye in the middle of the page. Both take you to the same place. And that gives you all the tools of where to start And then we're here 5 days a week to answer your questions or to offer support. So what is it that you need support in? And if you have purchased MP4s, we're having some issues on Vimeo. So give us a day or so, get that straightened out, and then those links should be working again just fine. So our apologies for technical issues, but this one was out of our hands. But we're going to try to get it straightened out. So we thank you for your support. And thanks for listening to another pre-recording yesterday. I know that we've played that one several times, but yesterday was really busy. Dad had two different doctor's appointments that I had to take him to, which left Michael here with Aria for most of the day. And so a little bit distraction, and we needed to play a recording so that we could put our attention where it was needed at the moment. So thank you for your indulgence when we have to do a replay. Give Michael just another minute. So press 1 if you have a question. I was working with someone this morning, and I'll be working with her again this evening. And it was easy, even for me, to get off in doing the worksheet to change subjects. And so when Michael gets on, I'll actually repeat that and get him to talk about it. You know, you're going along and you're doing a worksheet on a specific person or event, and then you get down to the goal, and the goal really doesn't match the person or the event. And so that means you've switched worksheets, and when you do that, then when you cancel that goal, you're not going to get down to the bottom issue of your original issue. You're not going to find the root of what's holding you back on that. And, you know, we do that unconsciously. But sometimes it's to avoid, and so I was just tapping into her story. And so anyway, when we work again this evening, I'm going to point out to her that it was actually two different worksheets that we were merging together, and see if that gives her a little more clarity. And so when Michael gets on, I'll give the example of that. Let's see if he's having some trouble in there. There he is. Hi.
Hi.
So what I was just saying is, in working with someone this morning, and I'm going to be working with her again this evening, that I even found myself switching worksheets in the middle of the page, or going along with her as she switched worksheets. And so I'm going to point out tonight that it was actually two different worksheets that we were merging into one. And I think that's something that happens a lot. Is, you know, people start out with an event, an emotion, a feeling, and then when they set the goal is actually about something else. Have you found that feature?
It's a great avoidance mechanism, yes. That's why the emphasis so often is on make sure that the goal that you're identifying is really precise and involves the issue you're working with. That game of switching issues is just another form of avoidance. You know, I really wanted this person to treat me lovingly, gently, and with respect. And then what people do when they get down to step 5, identifying the goal, pardon me, is they'll, well, I just want a happy life. Well, what happens with a goal is it determines, you know, when you think of the millions of files in the human mind, files so to speak, the goal is going to link into the content of a particular file. If I've got a painful experience going on in file A, but I shift to a goal that's going to take me into file B, I just short-circuited my healing process, and I'm avoiding what it is I'm really dealing with. And sadly, a lot of people begin to understand the process and go, yeah, I want to go for this. I want to do this. This is awesome. But then it comes back to that old saw of don't make me look. And, you know, I love how Dr. Tim says it. He says there's no such thing as bad self-knowledge, that whatever's in there, you know. Another point that's just becoming more and more clear to me, the more I process and do my work, is that we have this energy system called the body-mind unit. And this body-mind unit is a reflection of an accumulation of energetic patterns There's a an interesting piece of work that was done by a medical researcher working with multiple personalities. And in they bring a woman in who's a known multiple, and people tend to have as many personas or personalities as they do forms of abuse that have occurred. And excuse me, but someone's calling in my phone. I couldn't get rid of it. In any event, so there are oftentimes many different personas. And a persona is just a perceptual construct about self. It's the self that Yeshua said, in order for you to live, you've got to die. That self that is based in falsity has to go. And it's stored in physiology. So here they bring this woman in, and she's a known diabetic. If she doesn't get her insulin every day, she'll die. They bring into the lab, they induce a persona, a personality shift. Now, my interpretation of a personality shift is they resonate brain cells other than the persona, the set of the compilation of brain cells that runs her normal personality and her normal life. And when they shift her into, when they resonate a different set of brain cells, which means they change her physiology, all of a sudden, she's got no trace of diabetes. And if they give her insulin, it could kill her. What just happened? You know, if we think of a tube and we look in one end, we see one thing, we look in the other end, perhaps we see another. Let's say there's a coin in the middle. So I look in one end of the tube and I see George Washington's head on this quarter. And I look in the other end of the tube and I see this dancing lady, the female on the back of the coin. And I think, oh, well, they're two different things, but they're actually exactly opposite sides of exactly the same thing. The persona, operative, perceptual construct of the mind that reflects, you know, the predominant resonant energy that this person is living in or that tends to run their lives. So I look at that end and I say, oh, well, they have a personality. And then I look in the other end of the tube and I say, oh, they have a body. But they're exactly, they're one and the same thing. And when you shift what's running one, you shift the other. So the idea of forgiveness is to look for the goal that precisely matches the construct of the mind that contains pain. When I do that and I collapse it, I'm collapsing, you know, if I'm looking in one end of the tube, I'm looking at the persona, I'm collapsing all the personality facets that make up my way of behaving and thinking about myself, et cetera, et cetera. That's one end of the coin. But on the other end, I'm looking at a change in physiology when that shift occurs. And because so much of the personality traits are based, you know, personality traits based in fear and rage and guilt and grief and pain and drama and trauma, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to go there. Well, I'll just shift and work on a different goal. Take me to a whole different set of brain cells, and I don't have to face, or I think I don't have to face that. But the problem with that is I still get to face that disintegrative energy and its impact on my physiology. Sooner or later, I have to deal with it. I'm either going to deal with it physically, or I'm going to get to look at the other end, looking in the other end of the pipe. I'm going to look at the perceptual construct, and I'm going to begin to dissolve the dis-ease energy that is this particular painful event. When I do, the tissue that is physiologically distorted by the presence of that disintegrative energy is going to instantly heal. But it takes great wisdom to say, I'm willing to face the deepest roots of my pain and let them come forward. And the practice required is, can I hold to conscious, active, present love? There's the beauty of working with someone like yourself, that when you're doing that, or when we're on the show, there's a whole community of people that are holding that space of active love, so that if one person or another can't hold to it for themselves, there's support. But yeah, that goal is really mega major key. And things tend to become intertwined, and distraction is oftentimes, you know, people's way of dealing with their lives, or more correctly, not dealing with their lives. Oh, they created a distraction. So yeah, switching goals, that's a very, very common thing. And most people, when you guide them to the actual goal, and sometimes people think it's well, it's miraculous. How did you know what my goal was? Well, here's the easy way to determine what the goal is. You're thinking about this situation. Tell me, in this situation, if you were talking to the person involved, and you were to say what the ideal outcome would be in that situation, there's your goal. It's really easy to get to. It's like, gee, you know, somebody says, and I've seen this happen 1,000 times. Well, I'm just not sure. I don't know what the goal is. Well, tell me, if you were to say to this person what the ideal outcome is, what would it be? Oh, if they would just, okay, so there's your goal. And the more precise it is, the more profound the healing result will be. And sometimes the more impactful and painful will be the energy that is going to surface when we look there. So, yeah, it's really common. Developing the skill of selecting the goal that's really involved here and being willing to go for it, it's a big piece of work. So nice catch with her.
We don't have any hands up, and there's no comments in the chat room, so I guess go to the reading.
Well, I have a book. I have a book here to read.
All right.
And we're in Waking from the Has-Been. And of course, the has-been is everything stored in the mind from the past. So we've been talking to Richard about the healing crisis, what healing looks like, and how people say, oh, I want things to change. I want things to change. But I'm not going to change. There's a cute cartoon that came across on my Facebook page a little while back, and there's a guy who looks like he's probably a politician standing in front of an audience. You know, there are a bunch of people, and he's roaring away about, yeah, we're going to bring change. And everybody's throwing their hats up in the air and balloons and, oh, celebration, there's going to be change. And in the next frame, he says, now, how many want to change? Everybody's heads looking down, glum faces. It's like, well, we want life to change, but we forget that we're creators that set life up to play out the way it's playing out. So if we want life to change, we're going to need to change. So I explained to Richard the experiment I do in my workshops. I ask everyone in the audience to step back from their minds and observe what happens inside. I then ask them to each put their right hand on their right ear and invite everyone to look around and notice that each person is doing pretty much the same thing. Why did they all do the same action and put their right hand on their right ear, Richard? Well, they followed your directions. I offered Richard, I have another theory. In each mind, there are brain cells storing information from the past. Each person was trained in what the words right, hand, and ear meant. When I spoke, I caused those brain cells to fire, and each one was shown the reality contained in their brain cell structure and followed the directions given to them by that reality. They did not follow my directions. Oh, come on, Michael. Of course they followed your directions, Richard protests. The instructions, put your right hand in your right ear, came from my voice. True. The reality that each mind had for those words came from the past of each individual involved in the exercise. The only reason each person did the same thing is that they were all taught the same realities about right hand and ear. They didn't follow my directions, but the directions came from their minds, from their past. Interesting theory, Michael, but how do we verify it? I thought you might ask that, Richard. Imagine that we have somebody in the audience whose mother trained them differently. Imagine his mother taught him that the nose is an ear. Where did he put his hand when I said, put your right hand on your right ear? Well, he'd put his hand on his nose, of course. Put that in our context of our search to verify that everything from the mind is from the past. I give one set of instructions, but two different results were produced. One person was out of step with everyone and put his hand on his nose, which he had been taught was an ear. Was anyone following my instructions? I offer that each person followed the guidance of the reality that my instruction triggered in them, and the guidance came from the past in each mind, not from my words. And key thought in this particular piece of reading is another key to healing. Give yourself permission to experience life differently. Now, one of the things that I often reinforce, and it feels right to do it now, is to not believe a word that I'm saying. We're inviting you to take this, and of course the other side of that coin would be, rather than disbelieve it, check it out and experiment with it. See what happens. See what your experience is with it. And rather than belief or disbelief, if you check it out, if it's true, it's going to be your own. It's not going to just be some belief that you bought into. For me, all kinds of nonsense out there that people buy into because some authority says it. And so the has-been recognizes, everything that comes from the mind, by definition, had to be in there in order to fire. If it was in there, then it's from the past. And if the constructs of our mind, the realities of our mind are all related to what's stored in the mind from the past, then where do most people live their lives? They're living in the past. It's only when we really truly wake up to the truth of who we are that we can have a true live present moment experience. Because even if something coming from the mind is accurate about the present moment, but it's coming from the mind, it's still a dead experience. And we're looking to tap people on the shoulder, the spiritual shoulder, the soul, the being, wake them up so that their experiences come from the truth of who they are and the direct interaction with what's actually occurring in the world at any given moment, rather than in the coming from the world that the mind creates, which is all basically a reflection of something from the past. So waking from the has-been, and waking from the has-been means that the energetic patterns, you know, we've offered before that hostility and fear are markers that there's something moving within us that's based in corrupt data. Anything based in hostility or fear is a reflection of something from the past that's just replaying itself out. And it's replaying out of corrupt data. And, you know, I mean, if you think about your phone or your computer, you dial a certain phone number, you put it in, but if the data's corrupt, you're going to get, instead of getting Bill, you're going to get Harry. Oh, I didn't want to talk to Harry. Well, that's where my phone went. So why? Because when we're dealing with the past, If we don't know that there's a signal that tells us when the past is in error, we'll tend to be stuck in it. We'll tend to play it out. That's what Yash referred to as the blind leading the blind and the dead burying the dead. And we want to wake up from that and truly begin to function as alive, awake, aware human beings created as the essence of love, the truth of who we are. And so if that resonates something for you, I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear questions or questioning. And or is there something we can support you in? You know, the purpose of this show is to be here to create a space for learning and for doing process work. And our definition of process is the ability to hold love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up. So if you're out there in listener land and you've got something you would like to process, we would love to support you. That's what we're here for. If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And once you're listening, if you push 1, that will raise a hand in the control panel and we'll be having a conversation. So if you're out there in this land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? Do we have anything happening in the chat room, sweetie, or anything happening in the phone queue?
No, it is all quiet. I was announcing to everyone this while we were waiting for you to get on that we were having some issues with Vimeo and to be patient if they had bought an MP4 and the link wasn't working, that we are aware of that and we are working on it. And you might announce that not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, the 13th, is the next breath workshop.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be doing a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop the second Saturday of this month, as we are doing now every month. If you are interested in participating in that, you can drop Jeannie a note at J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org, Jeannie at whyagain.org, or if you've got my number, you can call me, call Jeannie. Include, if you're writing to her, your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you to get you registered, or at least to explain the process to you if you're interested in joining us. Basically, we are setting up an ongoing participation opportunity with that workshop. And the levels of participation are, you can do a single Saturday Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And if you do that, we'll be sending you links to 2 different videos and an audio for you to do some self-study and to work on a mind shifter prior to the Saturday workshop. So normally what we do when we're doing it live is on Friday evening we'll get together, we'll explain the mind shifter's process, and we'll assign a mind shifter, then ask you to write that Friday night or Saturday morning, and then that will prepare you to go into the Still Point Breathing workshop. Well, since we're doing it via Zoom, we're actually sending you 3 different support pieces about the mind shifter process, 3 different links that will be videos, 2 of them videos and 1 of them audio that you can listen to, watch, and select the mind shifter you're going to work on. And then on Saturday, having done that work, you'll be prepped and we'll do the Still Point Breathing process. We'll do some processing around what came up with the writing. We'll do the Still Point Breathing process. The process that will start at 10 in the morning, and depending on the size of the group, it'll go through sometime in the afternoon. And then on the following Wednesday from 7 till 9 p.m., we'll do a question and answer and processing session. So the workshop will actually spread out. We used to do it Friday night and Saturday. We're going to cover the Friday night by sending you those advanced links, then the Saturday breath workshop, and then Wednesday will be an additional processing session. So we've rearranged things a little bit since we're doing this online with Zoom. And if you're interested in participating, then drop us a note. It'd be awesome to have you there. One of the things we, Jeannie and I had just talked about recently is that of putting a, and Jeannie's checking it out, of putting an additional feature into the Heartland Aramaic Mission app. If you probably already know that we have the world's only forgiveness app. You can actually download it free if you go to your app store and just type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, that's all one word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, Mission. If you type Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, if you type that in, you'll be looking at and have a free download of the world's only forgiveness app. And there are several features in it. There's a kids game for introducing children to forgiveness. It's called the Dragon Klingon game with Rory dragons and all. There are two different versions of the worksheet process, of the forgiveness step-by-step process. There is a copy of and access to the commitment from the Healing Through Relationships workshop. And if we can do it reasonably, we're going to add a feature where if you're doing the work and you come across a question, you can just write from within the app, click and send an email, and that email will check on a daily basis for the radio show and will answer the questions in the show. So that somebody who, you know, works on, you know, on an afternoon when the radio show's playing can ask their question, and at the same time we'll email you back and tell you what date and day time it was that we answered that question, so you can go back and get the answer. So hopefully that'll be another feature we can integrate into the app. In the meantime, the app is totally private. We encourage people to use it and to use it to look at any issue in your life. And we purposely made the app as trim and slim and free of permissions as possible so that you could be assured that your work there is totally and completely private. Only thing the app is going to ask you to do is to give it permission to use the internet. Because without the internet connection, of course, it's not going to work. Other than that, the app requires no permissions in order for you to do the worksheet process and make use of the app. If you choose at the end of doing a worksheet to print it, then it will ask one additional permission, and that permission will be to save it to your drive so that you've got access to it in the future. And we encourage people to save those. But otherwise, we're not asking if we can send texts or use your camera or dial your phone or change your settings, or, you know, which so many silly permissions are required by so many apps out there. I think that's part of how some people finance their apps is by selling information. But we don't make your information available to anyone. It's used only for this work. So if you don't have the app, add to your app store and download it. You can also go to the website and do the forgiveness process right there live on the website, similar to the way you do it in the app, but you can do it just on your computer on the internet, and or you can download the worksheets and print them from your own printer so that you've got printed copies to work with. So there are lots of ways to put the tools to work, and we are here because the shift in understanding of how life works that has to take place in order to really truly integrate this work is monumental. You know, from the hostility and fear-based beliefs of the world to recognizing that we are literally the created essence of love and are designed to experience that 24/7, 365. It's quite a variation from the world that thinks, well, you know, a little rage, a little hate, a little fear, a little intimidation, a little theft, what's that all matter? Well, energetically, it matters tremendously. And so, if we can support you in bringing these tools together in your life, if there's something specific that you feel you need some support to process, or you'd like to have some support to process, or a specific question, now's the time to push one and let's have a conversation. And we'll take a minute of silence to emphasize that it's time to push one. And let's open the conversation. We've got 30 minutes left for process work, question and answer. So how can we support you? What's on your mind? How are these tools fitting into your life? Some people don't call because they're afraid their voice is going to be shaky, or they don't want to expose themselves personally. Well, you know, there's no need. I will certainly, when we start to talk to you, ask for a name. But, you know, if you want to remain private, you're happy to tell me your name is Harry. It's irrelevant. Whatever works in that regard. And if you think your voice might be a little shaky being on the phone, can you make it okay? Or being on the show, can you make it okay if your voice is shaky? And like, so what? Let's just carry forward. How can we support you? Sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, I'm new to this, so I really don't even know what questions to ask, but I have 100 questions. Well, then that's the question to ask. The next one on your mind is quite literally the question to ask. And oftentimes some of the questions asked by total newbies to this work really give us the opportunity to return to some of the basics involved in using the work. And so we appreciate those questions. Sometimes it's something we need to be taken back to and can be a really important step to moving forward. So what's on your mind? If I were in your hometown presenting this and I shared what I've shared so far, I'm in your local library on a platform or your local church or your local prison or university or community center. When I step down off the platform, would you be coming over and introducing yourself and saying, well, I just have one quick question?
We have two hands up.
Say hello.
All right. The first one's area code 317. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Sarah.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you. I guess I was kind of wondering, you mentioned the mind shifters. I think you said it was like a worksheet as well. What's the difference between that and like a, I call them like the work it out sheet or the forgiveness worksheet? Is it the same thing?
You want to take that, Jean?
We have many
different worksheets from different workshops. Go ahead, Jean.
Okay, so the mind shifters is a list of things that you'll probably, your mind will have a negative thought about. Like, everyone always honors me and gives me what I ask. And your mind would probably come back and say, well, that's a bunch of crap. You know, that's not true. That never happens to me or whatever. So what you do is you take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the middle of the page and you put the mind shifter on the left side of the page. And then you basically do a brain dump on the right side of the page. You don't try to analyze it or make sense of it. It doesn't even matter if you think that it's related to that mind shifter. I mean, if a thought goes across your mind, oh, I need to, you know, get to my next client, or I need to go check on my grandmother, or I need to go feed the dog, you know, you even write those things down. When you run out of stuff to write, then you go back and write the mind shifter again. and then you do another brain dump. And what happens is when we have things in our subconscious versus our conscious mind, it only takes a little bit to resonate it. Like if I say, what color is your car? And you might say, it's white. And then I say, okay, what does your house look like? And you might say, it's red brick. Well, when you're thinking of what your house looks like, you're not thinking of what your car looks like. And when I say, what's your favorite item of clothing or what's your favorite food? So just my asking the question will trigger something out of the subconscious into your conscious. So those two change places all the time. But then you have the unconscious, and that's where we stuff things down that we don't really want to look at, don't want to deal with. We push it away. And so if you write the mind shifter enough, it will trigger something in the unconscious, and it will come forward on the paper. But you just are basically just writing whatever pops, and then you can go back later and look at it and see what comes out of it. And so it's a writing exercise that you usually want to give yourself, you know, 1 to 2 hours just to sit and do the writing undisturbed, just to allow whatever thoughts come. And I've done mind shifters before where I've had to write the mind shifter like 20 times on the left side of the page before any thought comes for me to put on the right. And then there's been other times that I write the mind shifter one time and I write pages and pages and pages of stuff that pops up from it. And then you can also later go back and look at what you wrote and go, oh, wow, that's an issue. I need to do a worksheet on that one. So then you would flip over to the reality management wake-up sheet and do a wake-up sheet on that particular little issue. And so it's a totally different tool, and that is on the website under the, if you click on Start Here or the Bullseye, it will take you to where all of the worksheets are. And but I have your number, so I'll send you the direct link to that as well. And I'll also put it in the notes for today. If you go to our website under the microphone, it will take you to where you can access all of the archives of the radio shows. And if I attempt to take notes every day, but then like yesterday we were busy doing other things and we actually played a replay of an old show, so I don't have notes on yesterday's show at all. But so anyway, that's one of the tools, and I'll send you the direct link to that, but then also you can find it in the notes for today too, the direct link to the mind shifters.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Well, I guess, like, so then you do the mind shifters, and then in the workshops on Saturday the 13th, you do the mind shifter, and then you do the still point breathing. And can you explain a little bit more about the still point breathing?
You want to go for that one, Michael?
Sure. Yeah, tag team. You know, the idea of why we link mind shifters and still point breathing together is that when somebody's going to go into the still point process, what that particular breath is designed to do is to literally blow off the energy of disturbance around any given issue. And the idea of the mind shifter is to stir the mind so that things we normally might hide from ourselves are kind of resonating and moving. They're activated. You know, I like to tell a story about, you know, back in the 70s, the price of sugar went through the roof. It was just crazy. And, you know, so there's a story about the guy who's got a little coffee shop. He's going broke. And the guy comes in and orders a cup of coffee. And the price of sugar is just outrageous, and pushes the sugar over to the guy, and he puts a spoon of sugar in his coffee, and puts another spoon of sugar in his coffee, and he puts another spoon of sugar, and another, and you know, this guy can just see his profits going down the drain, and he grabs the sugar back, and he says, doesn't that make your coffee too sweet? And the customer says, hell no, not if you don't stir it. And the idea of the mind shifter is to get things stirring. So we suggest that people write it the night before, work on a mind shifter the night before. We've got a system for selecting a mind shift to work with. In fact, if you'd like, and this will be a good demonstration of how the process works, we have a specific process for selecting mind shifters. If you'd like to, you want us to find you a mind shifter right now, and you can work on it before your session with Jeannie tonight?
Sure.
Okay. So the way we select it is by choosing numbers. So I'm going to ask you to pick the first number. Tell us what the first number is that comes to mind from 1 to 3. What clicks in your mind, 1, 2, or 3?
3.
3, okay. And then pick a second number from 1 to 13.
7.
First one that pops in your head, 7. Okay, so 3, 7. Jeannie, maybe you can look that up while I explain it. So
okay.
What, you know, over the last 40 years or so of working with people with both the Mind Shifter and Still Point Breathing Tool, you know, I can try to figure out with my mind what you should work on, or you can try to figure out with your mind what you should work on. And usually the mind will trick us. It'll bring us into avoidance. But before I asked you what numbers you were going to select, I invited that you to be guided to the right numbers that would give you the right mind shift to work on that would be most useful to you right now. And so we have a sheet with three sections, section 1, 2, and 3. So the first number determined whether your mind shift is going to come from section 1, section 2, or section 3. And then in each of those sections, there are 13 mind shifters. So Jeannie now is going to tell you what mind shifter 3, 7 is. And let's see it. You know, it's often hilarious when we do this in intensives. We've got people who, you know, they've been together, let's say, 5 or 6 or 7 days before you go into the still point breathing process. And so they've got to know each other fairly well. And there are often gales of laughter when people select their numbers because somebody will pick a number and it's exactly what they were just talking about 10 minutes ago. So let's see how this fits with your conversation with Jeannie. Jeannie, what's 3, 7?
It fits perfect. All right, Sarah, it is. Do you have a pen or I can send it to you?
I have a pen.
Okay. My relationship with...
Okay.
Blank.
Okay.
And you fill that in with the first person. So, like, we were talking about your sister this morning, so you might want to put her in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part is heals... my guilt.
Heals
my relationship. H-E-A-L-S. My relationship
okay.
with blank heals my guilt.
Okay.
So was that in on target with what you guys were processing this morning in your session?
Yes. Yes.
Cool. It's uncanny how. I mean, as I say in intensives, people just laugh hilariously because we just finished the conversation, you know, with Bill, and Bill comes up with his two numbers, and bang, there's the mind shifter. It's just right on with what his conversation just goes through the whole room that way. It always just takes it right to the core. So the idea of that now, to use that as a mind shifter, is you take a piece of paper, and draw a line down the middle of the page. You write the mind shifter on the left, my relationship with blank heals my guilt, and then whatever that triggers in you, on the right-hand side, you write it. And it might be, well, that's silly. And then you write it again. My relationship with blank heals my guilt. Well, that's just ridiculous. How could that heal my guilt? They just make me guiltier every time I see them. My relationship with blank. And you just keep writing. And what happens is the brain cells relating to whoever's name you put in there and any related guilt will tend to resonate and resonate and resonate. And what has to happen in order for things to come to conscious awareness is the brain cells need to fire with enough strength or amplitude for you to become conscious of them. So each time you write the mind shifter, it moves what otherwise we tend to live our lives keeping suppressed. So it doesn't move. So this just gets it moving. And you may find, and as Jeannie said, you know, take an hour or 2 hours and just sit and write that and censor nothing. Just write whatever comes up. Almost don't even pay attention to it. Just go into it and just write. And oftentimes, and I say this from personal experience, when I've worked on a mind shifter, and then I go back and look at it afterwards, it's like, oh, my God, where did that go? That doesn't even look like my writing. I don't even remember writing that. And that's when that unconscious dynamic starts to open. And the reason we do this hand-in-hand with the still point breathing process is because whatever's been stirred up by the mind shifter through the still point breathing process, that energy will be dissipated and people will tend to move in the direction of being freed from whatever that issue is.
Okay, thank you.
So now you've got your first experience with a mind shifter. Awesome. And if anybody else is out there listening and you would like to get a mind shifter to try the process out, pick two numbers, one from 1 to 3, second number from 1 to 13, and, you know, push 1 and ask Jeannie for a mind shifter, and she'll give you a mind shifter. And thank you. Any other thoughts for you? Anything else on your mind? Anything we can support you with?
Not that I can think of presently.
Okay, Sarah. Delighted. Nice to talk with you.
Yes, thank you. Nice to talk
right.
with you, too.
Okay. All right. Blessings.
Awesome. And our next number, did you want to say something else first before I take the next caller?
No, let's go for it.
Okay, area code 541. I think this is Julie Matthews.
Hello, Miss Julie.
Oh, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear, young lady. How are you?
Oh, I forgot I was in the queue.
Wow. Okay.
That's just bringing up everything in me. I was just filling in the blank about 100 times. No, not quite. But I'm also driving to an appointment, so I won't be able to really do the call now. But I just say hi and breathe. And I'm looking forward.
Wait, and what's going on that you're kind of holding your breath back there? That
I've been holding my breath a lot. It's this thing that came up in my last Mind Shifter Dill Point Group meeting, and I really want to attend this time. And there's this person I'm in relationship with, and I have allowed, with whatever personality I've adapted with, I have allowed
right.
him to, you know, run my life and dominate and think that he can just keep bossing me around. And so I get to feel feelings, which will probably heal my guilt. That's what I'm thinking.
If you look at, is this a replication of a power person dynamic where your power person felt like they were supposed to run your life and you succumbed to it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm so aware of these things, but I guess I'm finding out that really I'm not going to, here it is, I'm trying to figure it out with all the smart things I know, but really doing the mind shifter and the still point, if we're lucky enough to do that, which you offer to us now, that's the way the release happens, and it's nothing that I can do to force it. I can only surrender to it and be willing.
Right. You got it.
But my breath has been really stuck, and even when I just lay down to sleep, and I know to lay down with my head properly and still point breathe, I'm blocking even going into still point. So it's just a mind thing that I'm trying to control, I guess.
It's called resistance. Remember from the Aramaic language, the definition in the ancient scriptures of Satan, it's not this dude with the red suit, the tail, and the pitchfork. Satan means the resistor, one who misleads. And when there's something inside of us that we say, oh, that's too painful to look at, to deal with, I don't want to go there, and somebody suggests something that will elicit that, bring that forward, the tendency is to go into resistance, no, and then to have a whole story as to why I shouldn't go there, I shouldn't do that, and that's the mind misleading us. That's literally, in Aramaic, Satan. And most people in the culture live trapped in Satan, trapped in the past, just leading them around by the nose. So good catch. That's awareness is the first step for stepping out of being trapped in that and going to new levels of conscious creation.
Well, thank you for that reminder, because I hadn't even thought it through that far, what you just said. I really am blocking something. So, and I'm hoping to come to still point on the 13th. I'm supposed to go out of town with him, my significant other, because his mother passed away about 2 weeks ago, and there's a gathering of family down in Southern California, and it's really going to take
right.
a lot of my time and energy. But because I'm willing and opening to keeping my appointment with the Still Point on the 13th, I've decided what I can do is just get my own hotel room for one night and that morning, you know, because my timing is from 7 a.m. till however long it lasts.
Right.
So I'm solving it. You know, the insights are coming, and now the mind shifter, am I supposed to just choose one, you know, like you just demonstrated with what's her name, Heather? I can't remember, but anyway.
No, was Cher.
Sarah.
Okay, excuse me.
Go ahead and pick two numbers or stay with the same one, whichever you feel. If you want to pick two numbers, I'll give you a mind shifter, or if you feel like you need to continue with the one you had.
I was kind of thinking, I haven't done one yet, but I was thinking 3-3. You could give
all
me
right.
that one. Yeah.
Okay. 3-3. Hold on, my computer decided to be slow here. Okay,
and
three,
while
three
he's
is...
looking at that, I was just going to say, in your email, you've got a copy of that sheet, or you've probably printed it off.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to be on mute now because of going into my appointment, okay?
Okay.
Cool. And for those who may have chosen 3-3, it is I am love, period. I have all the wisdom, time, money, energy needed to accomplish all my aspirations.
I am
love.
That's perfect. Time, money, wisdom, and energy I need to accomplish all my aspirations. Perfect. All right,
that's
young lady.
So,
well, enjoy your appointment.
Yes. I will.
You're
enjoy
ready for that,
that
one?
Yes.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye.
And, okay,
bye.
Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Well, we're down to 8 minutes. Well, actually, if you count the outro, we've got 7 minutes. So that's time for one more question. Somebody press one.
Yeah, let's step into the conversation. If you haven't pushed one as yet, if you haven't opened your voice to share with us, push one and come on in. Let's talk about it. What's happening in your world? How can we support you? And if no one has a question for us, then I'll just say that if you're interested in doing the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing Workshop that's coming up a week from Saturday, you can drop us an email. Drop Jeannie an email, Jeannie at whyagain.org. Give your name and phone number. Let her know you want to participate. We can get you set up for that. And, you know, I don't think I completed the explanation that we've got it set up that you can do just one session, or you can do a package of three sessions, or you can register for the whole year, once a month for a year, for that process. And so the single session cost for the two videos, you'll have permanent access to those, and an audio link on the Mind Shifters process. Just participating in one session is $150 for those three links, permanent access, and the workshop itself on Saturday and the follow-up session on Wednesday. Or if you do a package of three, it's $125 each for three, so $375 for 3 months of that. And or you can sign up for a year. And a year is a total of $100 a month, or $1,200. Or if you pay in advance, it's reduced to $900. So it's really a minimal investment for ongoing support and really moving into mastering these two tools of Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So if you're interested in doing that, drop Jeannie an email. And or we do have our Codependence to Interdependence Communication Practicum available via a self-study program. And that self-study program includes a a pre and the post personal code evaluation. And the personal code evaluation is a tool that we've been using for about four decades now that is designed to key into what are the issues my mind is hiding from me. It's based on the MMPI, which is kind of the gold. It's a Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. And it's a gold standard of psychological testing. And we adapted that about four decades ago to be used specifically for the kinds of issues that we deal with in this work. So it measures on 10 different scales things like stress management, honoring self, honoring others, honoring truth, freedom from fear, freedom from hostility, honoring laws of living, nutrition, digestion, toxicity, the use of will. So it breaks down each of those areas and shows you where your blocks are. The mind can be very expert at tricking itself. So the MMPI is, you know, having used that with people for about the last 40 years, it's at least 95% accurate. It just pinpoints right where are the areas in my mind where I can make the greatest gains. And then we'll give you assignments for your first three areas where you have challenges. So, you know, prior to the intensive, we'll send you a link, do the evaluation, then we'll give you feedback, and there's 2 hours of videos that you can study the feedback and understand exactly how it works and what the assignments are. And then go through the intensive, and then at the end of the intensive, you get to do it again, the evaluation, and you get feedback once again on exactly where you're at. You can see precisely where your advancement's been, where you've done your work. You'll see the monumental advancement. Where you haven't done your work, you'll see that your scores pretty much stay the same. And so the self-study can be done over whatever time period somebody chooses to do it. It includes 90 hours of video teaching, question, answer, and process work. It's actually a combination of two full codependence to interdependence communication practicums, specifically focused on process work, questions and answers, and really going in depth into the forgiveness process. Why is this happening to me again? Healing through relationships to workshop. Communication, did you hear what I think I said? Mind shifters and still point breathing and codependence to interdependence. So the whole program, the whole 90 hours is focused on those workshops. And there's a 90-hour process of self-study. We did those intensives on Zoom. They've been put together in a package. And then, of course, the radio show is here so that if you choose to purchase that package, then we're here to answer questions and support you. So it's a self-study with support, an hour a day, 5 days a week from the radio show. So if you're interested in doing that program, the whole 90-hour program, including the personal code evaluation, is a total of $600. So it's a pretty small investment for that level of training. The intensive itself, the initial intensive that we did, which, if I remember correctly, was probably about, let's see, I think it was 60 hours of video. The initial cost of that was $1,800. And then we put that together with a second intensive where that was done self-study, and then we did the question-answer sessions. So there's 90 hours of work, pretty intense work, and in-depth inquiry into each of those workshops and the tools that we teach in those workshops. So if you're interested in that, again, drop Jeannie a note, or if you've got her number, my number, give us a call. In the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
I choose to live more consciously, evolving continuously.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.